As the deer pants by the water, it must keep a sharp eye out for predators. Once they turn their heads down to take a few sips of that life-giving elixir, they're vulnerable to everything the forest hides within its depths. One deer that walks on the banks of the great Yangtze River may seem like it's forsaken the traditional cervid adaptations, which has left it totally defenseless. But upon closer inspection, you can see that it's taken the anatomical road less traveled. But revolutionary adaptation is our favorite topic here on Life, Death, and Taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy, your 30 minutes of interesting animal info. It's season 6.
Hooray!
And I'm Joe.
And I am Carlos, and excited, I'm an excited Carlos.
And today we're talking about a creature whose binomial name means defenseless water drinker in Latin.
Oh, you took some of the etymology.
But more on that later.
No, now!
More on that now.
It's Latin for defenseless or unarmed.
You wrote about the etymology?
A little bit, yeah.
For the first time ever?
Well, because that's interesting. And I think I've talked about the etymology before, like orangutan meaning forest person.
That's a very famous etymological
revelation. It was the very first time I had ever heard it.
Oh, I knew about it.
Well, good for you.
Well,
you're just in the know.
Tell us more about names.
That's right. We're talking about the water deer, which sounds kind of boring, but is not boring. As we'll see, it's in a kingdom that you like, you know, and you love are in, and
you're inside it.
Oh gosh,
you're inside the kingdom.
You like it, you love it, you're in it. It's
gotta have it.
It's delicious. It's like 2 pints of ice cream. It's kingdom Batmanimalia.
Okay,
which we'll talk about later. The phylum is Chordata.
Uh-huh.
The kingdom, or the class, and some people call it a class, is Mammalia.
Same.
The order, this is where we deviate,
uh-huh,
is Artiodactyla, which is like...
That's really cool sounding.
Even-toed ungulates. So somehow, the water deer and the humpback whale have found themselves in the same order.
They've got even toes somewhere stashed away.
I guess if a flipper is a toe, it's got two.
So do I, though. Actually,
have a lot more than toes. Two toes. You have a lot
Wait
more
a
than
minute.
Two toes.
So are
You're
like...
an even-toed ungulate.
I do have an even amount.
Not me. I cut one off. So
oh,
good.
That stinks.
Yeah.
Especially if it was because of gangrene.
I'm a little bit off balance. I'm a little unsteady. The family is Cervidae.
And you never go against the family.
No. What?
I think that's from...
Godfather?
Yes.
Sure.
It's definitely from one of them.
It's been a long time.
Same.
Anyway,
actually not.
The Cervidae family is all deer things. Elk and moose and whatnot.
And loved ones. And prized possessions.
Deer things. I love you. The end. Material possessions. The genus is Hydropodes, which, water deer, congratulations,
uh-huh.
Hydropotes. And the species is Enermis, which means unarmed.
Yeah.
Or defenseless. So the binomial nomenclature is Hydropodes Enermis. But people also like to call it, appropriately, the vampire deer.
Ah, more on that later.
Should we put Toccata in D minor in this one,
no.
too? No? Not twice in a row?
You know, we've used it as an opener, too.
Yeah, we had to. It's such a good song.
It is a good song, and it's in the public domain.
Yeah. But what we want to call it here, we've got some nicknames. The first one is the Fanged Forest Friend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The Chinese Fanger Trap.
Yes.
And the Vampiric Venison Vendor.
Oh, I'm so happy, because... I have a little... Stay tuned for a bonus one later. I was sure you would say.
Really?
Yeah.
I was struggling, but I came up with that last one just a little bit ago. All right, so let's talk about where this thing lives. Not just in taxonomy, but in the world. You mentioned the Yangtze River in the intro, and that's right, China. Southern China.
Nice.
It's actually almost completely relegated to that area in China because it's been hunted or driven out from other parts of the country.
It's also found in Korea.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. Okay, good.
You know, can you stop?
You sound like you were saying it's exclusively in China just now. I had to interject because it's important later.
The interesting part about it living in Korea is the fact that it lives mostly in the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea because nobody goes there and it can live there in peace.
Nice.
But that may not be the case in the near future, so who knows?
When they open the countries
to Western clothing.
I was doing a different thing.
No, I wasn't being racist. I was specifically quoting a character from a movie.
write in the comments or on Twitter or something if you know what I was talking about.
I don't know what you were talking
about. That's okay.
But you know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. So these little watermen, they like swamps and rivers. So that's why, you know, they are hydropodes.
Mm-hmm.
And they can actually swim for miles without stopping to reach, like, islands in the river or in lakes and things
they
like that.
They must be very buoyant.
Or just very good swimmers.
One of those two things. Or maybe or both.
Yeah, it could be both. Who knows? They've also been introduced to Britain and France. And now there is a stable population in both of those countries.
Nice.
After... I think for both of them, there were zoo breakouts in Britain back in the 1880s and in France in the 1960s. So don't let your zoo animals loose.
Uh-huh.
Is the moral of that story.
Because they'll be invasive, maybe.
So let's talk about what this thing looks like. Well, it looks like a deer. A little one. If it looks directly at you, it looks like it has an adorable little quokka face.
Yeah.
Just inquisitive.
Maybe more on that later.
Maybe on how adorable it is?
Just quokkas.
Okay, yeah. Kind of picture like a much cuter llama.
I feel like when I think about a much cuter llama, I'm just picturing an alpaca.
Can you tell the difference between an alpaca and a llama?
Yes, and you could too if you saw pictures of them side by side. Alpacas are much cuter than llamas. They've got like shorter faces and like fluffy cheeks.
Okay, and llamas just look like long-necked sheep?
They've got, like, camel faces, which is... Oh, no, thanks.
No, you're not about that?
No.
Even though they're also even-toned ungulates? I said toned. They're even-toned.
Yes, they're...
Ungulates.
It's very... They're like the teacher from Ferris Bueller. He's very even-toned.
I was thinking more like, he's toned.
Oh, okay. he's equally yoked. Wow, I wandered into that one.
That was very good.
If you don't understand that joke, read the Bible.
All right, so this guy has a golden brown coat. You want to toast these guys till they're golden brown.
Okay.
And they have a reddish brown face and a white throat, cream-colored throat, whatever you want to call it. But other than that, they pretty much, it's just a deer. Just picture a little deer.
Yeah.
But I don't...
How little?
I don't really know how little.
I'm just getting to all your jokes
first.
You are
not even a joke. I'm just trying to make this happen. Doing work here.
Yeah, let's talk about how little. That brings us to, once again, in this sixth season, the listener's favorite part of the show. I assume that's still true.
Because you're not about to re-poll.
I haven't polled in a while.
To possibly upset the balance.
And today, this week, would you perhaps like to introduce our special, who this segment is brought to us by?
This segment is brought to us by my lovely wife, Bibby. So, without further ado, other people's favorite part of the show, 1, 2, 3.
That was a familiar tune.
Now I got that stuck in my head. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom. Very good. Let's move right into it with length. The water deer is between 2.5 and 3.3 feet.
He was a little guy.
On average, 2.9 feet or 88.3 centimeters. How many water deer go into the length of the Yangtze River?
Dang. I should have seen this coming. I need to start anticipating this and looking up relevant things. Well, the Yangtze River is one of the longest rivers in the world, I think.
Is it?
Probably in the top 10.
Would you like to have a hint?
Nope.
Well, here's a hint.
Keep it away from me.
The Yangtze River is the longest river in China and has played a significant role in the region's history, culture, and economy. You can see it in Epcot in the 360 video, if you'd like. There was a quote in there about what traveling up the Yangtze River is like from an ancient poet. I would love to know what it's like. I can't remember, and you cannot find that quote on the internet. You can only know it by going seeing to Disney, that 360 video.
Or taking a picture. So go, take a picture of it, and post
it
on the internet.
Even though it's a real quote from a real poet in history. Couldn't find it.
Maybe they made it up. Maybe it's not a real quote from a real poet.
Oh my goodness.
A real quote from a Disney poet.
It's a real quote from the writer of that script.
Yeah, every quote is a real quote.
That's true.
So let's say the Yangtze River is, 1,100 miles long.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like a decently sized river. And you said this thing is 3 feet long.
Yeah.
So?
Are you doing head math here? I'm impressed.
Sure am. I'm trying to figure out how many of these guys go into a mile.
How much is a mile?
It's like, I think it's like 5,100 feet.
Yeah, something.
So.
Something like that.
I think I can probably be pretty safe to go like about 1,700 of these guys go into a mile. I'm not even doing this with my phone. I might be way off.
17?
Yeah. It should be about 1,700.
Okay, yeah. I thought you said 17.
No, 1,700 of these guys go into a mile, and I said 1,100 miles. So I'm going to say 1,800,000.
So the Yangtze River is about three times the length you thought it was.
Let me do it again.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say actually and correct myself, because it's about four times the length.
Really?
It's 3,950 miles.
Okay, well, then 5,200,000.
The answer is 7,191,724 water deer.
Darn it.
Let's move on to weight.
Can we cut out all of that horrible thing?
We can cut out all of that silence.
all that like mumbling and me looking up at the ceiling.
And cursing your stars.
I defy stars. I don't curse them.
All right. Leave five, please. The weight of a water deer is about 20 to 31 pounds or 9 to 14 kilograms. On average, that is 2.5 pounds or 11.5 kilograms. How many water deer go into Kazuyo Katsumasa, a South Korean former sumo wrestler? Would you like a hint?
Nah. You can keep it.
I'll give it to you.
You can just take that hint and put it into your shirt pocket. Just save that one for later as a morsel, you know? Like an after-school snack.
I'm full. You can have it. Here it is. Kazuyo was raised by his mother. After his father died when he was young, he started competitive Sirium, which is a Korean wrestling sport similar to sumo, and won a national competition in 1998. This caused him to be noticed by the stable master of a Kazugayama stable in Japan, where he would make his professional debut. That same year, Kazuyo saw wrestling as an opportunity to support his family and help his mother, who worked hard to raise him. Unfortunately, after an impressive career, he was found guilty of bout rigging and was ordered to retire in 2011. Now you have to get it.
Because you've given me enough time?
And just a stellar hint.
I have not listened at all.
Also, fun fact, like a dojo for sumo wrestling is called a stable.
Huh.
Yeah.
That sounds demeaning.
Kinda, yeah.
I'm going to go with 165. No, wait.
Do you want me to tell you?
Wait, hold on. How heavy is this thing?
Like 31 pounds.
Okay, sorry. For some reason, I was going 2.5 pounds.
It's 25.5.
25.5. Okay. Never mind.
On average.
Oh, wait, they just moved the decimal point. I'm going to go with 16.5.
It's about 13. 13 water deer.
Okay. I assumed that he was like 420 pounds.
He's like 350 pounds.
Ah, okay. So that my guess was off.
Yeah.
I figured that to be like a good sumo wrestler, you got to be on the heavier side.
Yeah, but they're very athletic. They're deceivingly athletic.
I'm not disparaging his athleticism. I'm just saying that, like, even if he's a big guy, he's more muscular than other big guys who look that big.
Yeah.
So then he would be heavier than the other guys that look
true,
that big.
But like he would also it's hard to train and can keep that much like weight.
Okay.
400 pounds.
All right.
I'm just saying that's a seems like a decent size.
Okay, so 13 of these little water boys go into someone who has very little water weight. All right, so have we passed?
Yeah, we're
have
good.
I passed? I miserably failed the first one, got kind of
pretty close
to the second
to the
one.
Second one.
Nothing is going to top last week's. If you didn't listen to last week's, just go do that. And then I guess it's all of our episodes will pale in comparison.
I don't know. I feel like the harrowing and tragic story of Katsugo Katsumasa is. It's a close second.
Oh, is it tragic? I wasn't listening. Anyway, the diet of this guy, like most deer, like most things that eat plants and graze, he eats grass. Loves it. Can't get enough of this stuff.
Mm.
But also, since it's near water, it eats reeds and sedges and things like that. But other than that, its diet is pretty darn boring.
It probably loves it.
I mean, you can love it and also be boring.
To you.
Like math.
I don't think people who love math find it boring.
But it's boring. Everybody knows it's
boring. It's objectively boring.
So here are some facts about its behavior before we go into the major fact.
Okay,
it is a solitary little folkman. It marks its territory with scents.
How many scents? 50?
11 herbs and spices.
I don't get that.
I don't get it either. What was it? Baskin Robbins is 50 flavors, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I was thinking of Dr. Pepper. So in order to delineate their territory, they will eat grasses and kind of just...
Dr. Pepper is 75, by the way.
Is it? No, is it 75 years old? It's established 75...
Who could say? We're all lost in the weeds.
So one of the ways that they think that this guy releases scents is by digging and pawing the ground with its hoof, then maybe it releases it through its foot. But they're not sure, because I guess they didn't ask. So the sounds these guys make, you usually think of a deer making that like high-pitched like...
whine type thing?
It's not like a groan, it's not a shout.
Squeal?
It's kind of like a squeal... made through a giant, like, hollowed out, like, rain stick.
Yeah.
But these guys don't do that. They bark.
Yeah.
And I could not find a video of
them barking. There's not a lot of good video about this.
No, but I did find a video of them making this other sound, which is a clicking sound, which they make during a rut. And a rut is a deer mating season. So it kind of sounds like a high-pitched... bird call, and I would put it into this episode, but it's bad quality. Like,
okay.
You barely hear it.
Maybe we'll put a link or something.
Yeah, if you want to listen to it. It's mostly this guy talking about, like, oh, look at those water deer. Does will also feep at their fawns.
Feep at their fawns, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of fawn feeping. This good old-fashioned fawn feeping. I don't know what that sounds like. But imagine it's like a...
That sounds legit.
Yeah. So
if you're going to come in here and yoke my yaks, don't feep at my fawns.
If you yoke my yaks...
You better not feep at my fawns.
Thou shalt not feep at other people's fawns. And if you're going to be... if you're going to yoke someone's yak, it needs to be equally yoked.
Yes, for sure.
You need to yoke two yaks.
Equally, yeah.
You need to yoke your yak and the other person's yak.
As long as those are equal yaks.
Oh, man, this episode's off the
this
rails.
This episode is close second, I think, to the last one.
Oh, man. The rut is during November and December. They will usually have 2 to 3 fawns. These water deer will live for about 10 to 12 years. And that is all I have for the general info.
Sweet. Here's where the fact gets major. The water deer is completely without antlers. All right, folks, that's it.
What?
That's it. See you next time. Wait a minute, there's more. It's a trait that earned them the defenseless name in their species nomenclature. Instead, the water deer has developed 2 long canines that protrude from its mouth like a pair of vampire's teeth.
It's crazy.
It is. Yeah.
It's a little bit unnerving. It looks like one of those taxidermied amalgamations.
It does. It looks like a jackalope.
Yeah.
Yeah. For that reason, I'm giving it the bonus nickname, the saber-toothed cervid. Saber-toothed cervid?
I thought of saber-tooth like 5 seconds ago as you were talking about it. I was like, it's kind of like saber teeth, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, there it is.
Although, I still like vampiric
venison
vendor.
Those are all good. Vendor.
Would you like some of my venison?
I was thinking so much about like hoping it wasn't what the saber-toothed cervid that when you said it, I was just so happy I didn't hear what you said. And that's very good.
You're so happy I didn't say it already.
Bucks have longer canines at as much as 2 inches long, which sounds like not that much, but it's long for a tooth.
I read up to 3 inches.
Yeah, it can be long. While does, I almost read does.
Yeah, me too.
Does and does are the same word.
Yeah, it's the same spelling, different word.
No, not fair. while does canines are only about 5 millimeters long, so they're almost pretty long for a canine, but
five
still really
millimeters.
Small.
Millimeters?
Yeah, a little. 0.5 centimeters.
Those don't even, those don't even stick out of their mouth.
Probably not. Maybe a little bit. But
I feel like my canines are 5 millimeters long.
Yeah. So the teeth start growing around the deer's first fall before they become a yearling. They grow to until about 2 years old. So they grow for a pretty decent time in their life, considering their lifespan of 11 years. And then only about 60% of the tooth is exposed below the gum. So there's a good portion that's still up in there.
Wow.
But what does a deer do with a big ol' sharp tooth or two?
Munch off some meat.
Wrong.
You know, these carnivorous guys eating grass and bison.
And
they go over to the United States.
It would take about 600 of these guys to take down a bison.
They can swim for a long time, so they just swim across the Atlantic Ocean from England.
There's European bison.
We did talk about that, didn't we?
So if you were to see a water deer just standing around, you'd notice that his canines seem to grow straight down. These teeth appear to be in the way and kind of cumbersome for poor deer males.
You poor deer.
However, he's got a trick up his gum. The tooth is loose in the gum socket, and they can move around like he's about to get a cool 50 cents from the old tooth fairy.
Can you hear the face I'm making?
What is this face for? It's kind of a grimace, like the word moist.
Like I heard pupa. That like someone's tooth, like their tooth is just loose in their gums all the time. And then it could...
Well, don't fret.
I don't like it.
They don't fall out. Instead, they are able to use their facial muscles to move the teeth at will.
Like the naked mole rat.
Yeah, kind of like the naked mole rat. Move independently of the rest of their face, I guess. Ugh. When they're eating, they pull them back out of the way so that they're pointing behind them. This allows them to chomp away without getting their faces tangled in thickets.
Yeah, that would probably be pretty darn annoying.
Yeah, it would. No, they flush, just tuck it back, save it for later.
Tuck those fangs away.
However, the real majorness of this fact is how they use these face daggers for defense. If they get into an aggressive encounter, they will point the teeth forward, and then they'll pull their upper lip up to draw them in. So instead of being out, forward and out, they're facing directly forward.
So instead of like a warthog tusk situation,
yeah,
it's more of like a...
pointed straight at you.
Nice.
staring down the barrel of a water deer face.
a 45-inch water deer.
Yeah. So now they're ready to jut and joust at insolent passersby. I hate that, by the way.
Do you?
It's one word. The plural is passersbys.
It's fun. It's fun to say.
Passersby?
Yeah.
Ugh, I don't like it. I say it a lot.
I know. For someone who doesn't like it.
On this podcast, at least. It's mostly used against rival males. When it comes to predators like cougars and Siberian tigers, it's more likely to just skedaddle.
I was wondering what their predators would be. I was like, what large predatory mammals live in China except the...
Used to be tigers, but not really anymore.
Yeah, not really in China.
Yeah.
I mean, the panda can eat meat, but it doesn't
There's panther-type things, cougars. Okay. So males are often seen with scars on their face, heads, and necks because of territorial disputes with other males. It's mostly for combat territorial disputes.
Much like antlers.
Yeah. Usually, when you see anatomical weapons on males and not females, it's because it's for these ritualistic displays or mating combat or territorial combat.
Yeah, it's nice because antlers provide attack and defense.
Yeah.
Like, they give, like, you just lock antlers. But this is just like a knife fight.
Yeah. So it doesn't usually kill your rival. Fights will end with them, like, laying down with their head and neck on the ground in submission, or they run away and get driven off the territory.
I learned that most ritualistic fighting during mating seasons are not fatal.
Yeah.
There's only a couple animals that fight to the death.
I've seen
lions.
I won't say what I've seen because it's kind of gross.
Okay.
It's not family friendly.
No.
Something brutal in the animal kingdom that involves antlers. females can also be territorial, but much less so, and they're usually only territorial if they're about to give birth or if they've just recently given birth and they're territorial with other females.
It's tough because their fangs are only 5 millimeters long.
Yeah, they probably just nip at each other and ask each other to politely leave.
Make passive-aggressive remarks about their, like...
haunches.
She's eating all those sedges. It's going to go right to her haunches.
Have you seen her... What? No, I'm cutting this out. I couldn't remember the color of the throat.
Cream-colored.
Yeah. Couldn't remember.
Throat.
I was going to say it's downright brown. It's so out of season.
But yeah, now it's going in there.
Yeah, well, fine. That's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got? All right, so that was the water deer, the Hydropodes enormus. So for you out there in Podcastia, sharpen your fangs. Find yourself a nice swamp and feep at your fawns like the water deer in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Who says Christmas time is all about reindeer? The water deer may not be the spirit of the season, but they are the front runners of season 6 of Life, Death, and Taxonomy. Hey, why not give your old pals at LDT a Christmas present in the form of a review? Head on over to your podcast app and send us your thoughts and stars. Besides, 5 of those shiny celestial representations should remind you that Christmas celebrates the event when the natal star marked the birth of Jesus, who came to save the world from sin and death. I guess Christmas really isn't about a reindeer after all. Mic drop.
Oh no.
Life, Death, and Taxonomy is my favorite in the world podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Deleting that. Deleting that, to be sure. That's not even going to make the end.
Toad better not.
Maybe the part where we're talking about deleting it will, but not what it is. It'll be a mystery.
Everyone will wonder.